All Park Beef is back at it again. We're going to run a little bit of potpourri episode for you guys. We're going to talk about a few different things. And we're going to talk about our youngest players that we're really excited for. So run that music before I screw up this intro anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Ballpark Beef, where we bring the beef, okay? And today, I'm sure we'll have some beef for you, so stay tuned for the beef. Back with my co-host, we got Jimmy and Nick, as always. Nick is our stat man. Jimmy is our other co-host, so he's up to date on his stats. But Nick, how's your week, man? How's work? You know, how's life?
Yeah, how's man, I mean, the new job's going good. You know, the kids are coming soon.
Nice.
It's just, I don't really think I should be the topic of this week's episode since you have a special day in about 9 days.
Well, you know, it's we'll get into that once I, you know, come around the horn here. But let's hear about Jimmy's week. You know, Jimmy's important too. So Jimmy, how was your week?
Going right back to you, pal. 9 days.
Yeah, guys, I mean, I'm getting married in 9 days. We're going to take a break next week, so don't expect shit from us. We'll be back the week after that, but, you know, it's stressful times, exciting times. So, you know, nine days.
We got you, bro. Give us all your stresses and just go into it and have the most fun.
9 days until just complete and pure bliss.
Just don't stop drinking until you can't stand anymore.
No, I'm not going to be trashed at my own wedding. That's not something you do. I don't plan on drinking heavily on my wedding.
Trust me, you won't be.
Good. I can't. It's like I barely have time anyway, so.
You can barely handle alcohol too, so.
That too. I don't drink, like, you know, my life depends on it, so. I have a few drinks and I'm tipsy. That's a good thing, right? You spend less money. Right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Ronas be expensive.
Ronas and, you know.
Can't forget the Nooners.
Nooners, some surfs. What else? What else was I drinking? I have been drinking.
The White Claws.
Nah, I don't drink White Claws anymore. They're just like, I don't know. I don't like Michelobes. I've been ripping Mix. Been on the Mickeys. What else have I had? I don't know. I don't, you know, drink like I used to, man. I think my liver's kind of been telling my body to chill out, and that's what I've been doing. Nick, whatever you do, it works for you. Good for you, man. I don't know how you do it. Can't say I'm proud of you because I'd sound like a bad friend, but you know, just keep doing you, man. Just keep it light at the wedding, all right? That's all I ask.
I will until a certain time.
No. if I have to carry you out, I'm leaving you at the venue. You're not getting on the damn shuttle, all right?
Oh, no, I'll make it back to the last, hotel. Whatever happens after that.
You'd be the last
that.
Person to carry him.
Well, I would feel obliged to carry him just because look at my idiot best man completely freaking obliterated.
Trust me, I will not do something like that because that would be an embarrassment on me.
Yeah, it would. It sure would. All I know is there's going to come a point in time. So, a little backstory on my wedding, guys. So we have best man, bride's maid of honor is Nick and Steph, right? Nick and Steph, if you give them a little bit of alcohol, I promise you they will not stop speaking the whole fucking night. So if you need anyone to talk to at a wedding and you need like a pal or something, invite Nick and Steph, give them about 3-4 shots. And I promise you, you will not hear the end of it the rest of the fucking night.
Nobody okay? will know where you are.
Okay. So just if you need like a plus one to look good for the family or something, Nick's the guy. Okay. Few drinks and, you know, he turns into, you know, Riz God over here. So. Whoa. He starts talking to moms. He starts talking to aunties. Like, that's Nick. Grandma's like, I'm telling you, he's the best plus one ever. Just bring fucking Nick. All right.
Nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe. But all right, let's
just don't ask off. Me if I remember it the next day.
Exactly. That's another issue. But let's get into baseball talk. Enough of my wedding. Very excited. 9 days away. But yeah, a lot of stress. And for all those who plan weddings and think that it's exciting to plan a wedding, you have issues, okay? You have issues. Because Jimmy can agree with me. It is exciting. But all right, let's get into
head, yes.
Yes, let's get into the baseball talk because that's what we're here for. So we're going to talk about some young players that have kind of been popping off the past 2 weeks from our respective teams. Nick, since I know you're going to be short and so sweet, take it away with your boy Mason Wynn.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you guys watch the Cardinals play, rookie season, Mason Wynn, shortstop, dude throws like 100 miles an hour from short to first. I mean, it's just unbelievable to watch. His double plays are just fascinating. And he's having a great start to the year on at the plate. You know, he's batting .333. He's not really known for his power, so his slugging is a little low. OPS is .744. This kid is just going to be something special, you know. Shortstop, we lost DeJong this year. Having a shortstop like that, and it's just going to be a great year watching him. I also want to give another shout-out. Matthew Liberatore, coming out of the bullpen now. I know they tried starting him a couple years ago. I think it was 2 years ago or last year. But he's a good piece to have in a bullpen. Tall lefty that can go the distance. So I'm very happy with his performance so far this year.
Nick, that just made me proud. You did more than you were asked to do.
Yeah,
that made me proud. Problems. Thank you, Nick. That made me happy. Thank you.
Man has no faith. Man has no faith in this guy.
He did more than I asked of him. That's like...
Nick has it in him. He could deliver.
He can deliver. Nick's got it. See?
Him. I'm him.
Sometimes. Jimmy, let's hear about your young guys.
Well, you already know who they are. They're probably the two most exciting players in all of New York. All of New York. I knew Jonathan would love that. So who I'm talking about is Francisco Alvarez and Brett, the Met 80, baby. Francisco Alvarez, literally, if he could play like 130 games, he would probably get top five MVP votes. He is looking phenomenal so far. Defensively, he's a great framer. He's been stealing strikes. He's been plucking them out of the zone, bringing them back into the zone better than Jonathan ever could. Third baseman in his senior year. But Francisco Alvarez really looking good, hitting the ball hard, hitting homers, hitting doubles, doing the thing. And then Brett Beatty's also looking like a stud over there at the hot corner. He's making plays. He's diving for balls, catching stuff. He's making good throws across the diamond, good strong throws. Defense is taking a leap, and he's been hitting. If he can hit and play defense like this, I mean, that's a core that I'm willing to build my team around. So Brett the Met, Francisco Alvarez, looking good in New York.
All right, let's get to the actual exciting guys in New York for a team that has a winning record and has the best record in the major leagues. Right, Nick?
I could care less about this team, but you can continue.
All right, so Anthony Volpe, Gold Glove last year, weak batting average. He fixed some things in the offseason, and let me tell you, he's got a 1.2 WAR already. He's hitting north of 400 as of before this game today. He's over 2 right now, so that'll be below 400. But he has a 1.2 WAR. His OPS is 1.1. I mean, I think he's figured it out. I think we have our future shortstop. He looks amazing at shortstop. I saw a stat. I could be wrong. He has the most defensive run saved so far this year. But yeah, you know, it's just exciting to see Volpe come up and you know, take over the shortstop spot. We haven't had like a real shortstop that you can say is because in my opinion, shortstop's the most important position on the field. And Volpe is taking that. So it's exciting to see. And the other guy, kind of out of nowhere, it's not like he's been a big name the past few years. He's also not like the youngest guy, but started taking off beginning of this year. Oswaldo Cabrera, switch hitter, plays about just every position. He was filling in at third for DJ. He's batting .333. He's got a .934 OPS. And I mean, he's just filling in. And I mean, he definitely earned more at bats. He definitely earned more playing time. So it's just exciting to see him, you know, kind of finally develop and become who we all thought he could be. So yeah, some exciting guys from the Yankees, exciting guys from the Mets, exciting guys from the Cardinals. The future looks bright. We like young guys. Young guys make the game fun, right? We don't like watching, I don't know, who's an old guy? Like an Anthony Rendon. The guy just doesn't care anymore, at least from what I've seen. Like these old guys just don't care. Like the young guys bring excitement.
They're all
like
just there for the money.
You have Alex Verdugo pimping home runs and then barking in the fucking dugout. Like, that's exciting. That pumps up a team. Like, the young guys bring energy, and that's why people go to the ballpark. People don't want to go to the ballpark and see Stanton strike out for the 30th time, even though he's been hot as of late. But, you know.
I don't know about you, Jimmy, but I kind of like to see that.
Stanton strike out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching that since his Miami days, since he was known as Mike.
He just hit another double.
No, but yeah, I mean, the kids, the young kids and players, they just bring excitement to the game. You know, the older people now, they're just like, all right, well, I'm just here for a check. So whatever I do, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to play again tomorrow.
Yeah, like even like last night, like I watched Ellie De La Cruz hit an inside the park home run. How often do you see that? You know, like I saw it live, not live in person, but live I was watching on TV. And like, that's exciting to see. Ellie De La Cruz is going to be a superstar, I think. So yeah, it's the kids are excited.
I'm going to cut you off right there, but he ran the bases in under 15 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
You get some of these guys, like, you know, like you mentioned Stanton, Rendon, they hit a ball and it takes them 15 seconds just to get the first.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what else is done in 15 seconds? Oh, I won't say anymore.
Got me there.
Didn't land. But yeah, so on the contrary, though, well, let me shout out Bobby Witt Jr. because he's a stud, too. Another young player, superstar, yep. Going to get MVP votes, like really, really top-notch player. But Mike Trout's found it a little bit, fellas. A little old whippersnapper or old guy trying to teach the whippersnappers, bro. Mike Trout's having himself a year. Good start so far. Looking forward to his numbers at the end of the season. Hopefully he stays healthy.
Yeah, it's a good time when Trout is healthy. I think he's the best player to root for, especially coming from Jersey, as we are Jersey fellas. You know, I can consider Jimmy a Jersey fellow, right? Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we're born and raised here.
Born and raised. But, you know, it's good to see. We love Mike Trout. But I will shout out Tyler O'Neill, who's leading the league in home runs.
Former Cardinal right there.
There you go, you know? Looks like he's juiced, but... That's besides the point.
Warmer. He likes the Green Monster.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool to see. I know Nick wish he could be doing it in the Cardinals uniform, but, you know,
He had his moments in St. Louis. I'm happy for him.
But, yeah, let's go into our team's little quick update for the past week, and then we'll get into our interesting topic. So I'll start off since I'm already talking. Let's talk about the Yankees. They are 9-2 as of prior to this game tonight. They're up 2-0. They have the best record in the league. They're top five in all of pitching stats, ERA, and there was another one. They're top five, which is good to see, knowing Cole's out. Offense have put up 8 runs in the past 3 games on average. So the Yankees look really good. The lineup's disgusting. I'm not going to talk too much. Yankees look good. I'm excited. 2 weeks in, so not much to it.
Yeah, man. The Cardinals are 5-6 as of today. Don't know if they're going to win or lose tonight, but the veterans aren't really producing behind the plate. You know, the pitching is about as expected, you know, sub 4 ERA. There have been multiple games where pitchers giving them a chance and the bats are just cold. So, I mean, they're off to about the start that I expected. Hope to see the bats wake up a little bit more and, you know, catch a win streak here and there.
The Mets. The Mets figured out how to win since we last recorded. Got their first win.
Remember what I said? All they needed was a walk-off. And what did they get the next day? A 1-0 walk-off. Wasn't it DJ Stewart?
No, this was the Alonzo homer and then the Tyrone Taylor single against the Tigers. First win of the season.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Didn't you have a walk-off now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get there.
That is the walk-off.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, that is the walk-off. Yeah, yeah, but... Good game against the Braves, too. So we won the first game, won our first game of the season against the Tigers, and then proceeded to get 3 more. Who knew? The Mets could actually win some games. Beat the Braves in a nail biter yesterday. Bullpen, top notch. Bullpen's looking great. Edwin Diaz, shoving. Drew Smith, shoving. Avino and Raley doing their things, solidifying that bullpen. We got some guys up and down because we're using our bullpen a lot, obviously, early on in the season. Starting pitchers aren't going as long, but... Pitching looks good for the Mets. The issue is with, you know, McNeil, Lindor, Heat struggling now. That's the core of this team. They need to perform. They need to come around the bend and start hitting the ball, because if they don't, we're just going to keep losing 3-2 and like 4-3 when our pitching is doing a good job. Can't have it happen.
Yeah. No. That's our weekly roundup for our teams, guys. So let's go into our topic of today. This is kind of crazy what's going on in the majors right now. But there's been a lot of UCL injuries the past few years, and people have been discussing whether it's because of the pitch clock or maybe it's because of the way pitchers are throwing the ball now. So I kind of just want to get everyone's opinion on that, see where your head's at regarding that. So Nick, I'll let you take the floor first. What do you think is the reason for the up in UCL injuries?
Yeah, I mean, there has been a lot of them to start the year, way more than in the previous years. And I mean, my take is it has to be something with the pitch clock, you know, because I don't think when they introduced the pitch clock that pitchers are like, oh, okay, well, now I need to throw it a different way. You know, they could still do what they have to do. They just can't take as much time in between pitches. And it to me, it seems like giving them only, you know, 10 seconds each pitch, you get one inning or here and there where you're throwing 25, 30 pitches, and then say your team goes up and down, 1, 2, 3, you're not really giving your arm time to rest. So these pitchers are throwing 75 to 100 pitches within like an hour. So, I mean, my take is that I just feel like the pitchers are being rushed and the muscles in their body aren't used to the movement as fast.
So I'll go next because I know Jimmy will have a nice long explanation.
Got a demo.
So I'm going to go the opposite route. I do not think it's the pitch clock. I think the pitch clock actually has nothing to do with the up in UCL injuries. I think it's the way the pitchers are throwing the ball now and all these things they're doing differently now with, you know, analytics and all this new technology, ways to throw, you know, curveballs or sliders, more ways to get higher velocity on your fastballs. I think that's what really has to do with the up in UCL injuries, because there's so much technology and information they're getting now, and there's so many different ways they can learn how to throw a ball or, you know, get higher velocity on some pitches. I think that's the reasoning for the up in UCL injuries. I think the pitch clock actually has nothing to do with it.
That's it. Now I get the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what I think. Pitching in the majors has been changing recently, right? So what I think is happening, because of no sticky stuff, I think these pitchers have to grip the ball harder. And this also has to do with all of the grip changes and little things that they're doing in these pitching labs to try to get an advantage, try to spin an extra 100 revolutions, try to like flip off a curveball, try to rip off a slider. I think because they're trying all these different things, they're gripping the ball really tight. There's no sticky stuff anymore, so they have to grip it tight in order to not lose the ball. And because of that, they're straining all these muscles in their forearm as they're getting ready to throw a ball. You think about it, every time there's like a car accident, the person who like braces themselves gets hurt more because they're tensing up their body for impact. Same with pitching. When you're grabbing this ball so tight and you're throwing it because you have, you know, no grip or like it's really slick, these baseballs are changing, there's no sticky stuff to hold on to the ball, when you grip it so tight, you're putting more strain on that forearm, which goes right towards your UCL as well. So they're getting these forearm flexor strains and these UCL injuries because I think they're gripping the balls. I think that has to do with it.
Now, my question to you is, because it seems like I have a different opinion than both of you, would you say it's more of one of the other or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of all three of our perspectives, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to give a different side. I think going faster, yes. I think straining your body in shorter durations, rushing through the pitches, I think there's some factor there. Is it significant? I don't know. Is the grip strength part that I'm talking about significant? I don't know, but maybe all of it together is kind of like causing all these injuries.
And now what would you say is a way to prevent it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge, right? Like when people from... No. People from the 80s were pitching. They just grabbed the ball and threw it. They didn't really care about what grip they had. They just threw it. You know, they made their outing last because they, you know.
Fastball, middle.
Yeah, like just hit it if you can. We, you know, I'll throw it 80 poo right in your zone and see if you could hit it. So I think it's changing where we're chasing velocity. We're chasing these spins. We're grabbing it. We're throwing as hard as we can. We're squeezing it. We're screwing up our arms. All these kinds of things are all in unison. And then, you know, doing it very quickly, like with very short time between pitches, it's a lot. The arm isn't supposed to throw 90 something. It doesn't either. My arm doesn't.
Nah, my arm is like a paper towel.
Yeah. A towel roll.
So
what was Jonathan's point again?
Jonathan's point was pitchers are trying to throw the baseball at like different arm angles, I believe, and like different releases to try and make the ball do something that's not supposed to do. Which is kind of the same thing as you saying with the grip. Because, you know, when it comes to pitching, it's all about the grip now.
Yeah, because people are tinkering with their grips. They're changing their cutter grip to become a sweeper. They're putting the fastball in a different part of their hand to be able to spin it more efficiently. You know, they're trying to throw at different angles to get different types of vertical break in the strike zone to see if, like, that has any effect. But I really think, to sum it up, like, squeezing the shit out of the ball is really just putting that strain on that forearm. They don't have a grip because of sticky stuff. They're throwing it very quickly, and, you know, they're tinking around a lot. I think that we're all right. I feel like we're all right.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of everything. But I think if it's leaning towards something more, it's kind of to your point, Jimmy, where they're just doing all these different things, whether it's increased velocity, increase their spin rate, you know, all these things to maybe throw a slider differently, a fastball differently. I think it's just adding more strain to the arm when the arm's not supposed to even be throwing like this, you know? Back in the 80s, if you had a guy like a Nolan Ryan who just threw 100 miles an hour, he probably threw 100 fastballs a game. Like, that's all you needed to do.
Yeah, that's what we said. We were like, back in the 80s, they're just like fastball, middle, to see how far, like, say how you could, if you could hit it or not.
And, you know, it's nowadays, it's like, all right, well, how can we get the RPMs up? How we can get your velocity up? What way can we throw a slider differently? So, like I said, your RPMs are going to be differently. Like, it's just all these things, and it's just causing more strain on your UCL, where you're not supposed to be straining your UCL like this. Like, throwing a baseball is not a normal thing to do. You know, it's supposed to cause strain on your arm. That's why whenever you go back into playing baseball, your freaking shoulder's going to fall off, right? Like, when we used to throw sometimes, we wouldn't throw for maybe like a year or two. We'd go throw and we couldn't feel our shoulder the next day. Maybe our UCL would be sore too. Like, it's not a normal motion. So just adding more to it is going to cause these things. And that's what the uprise is. You know, they all say analytics is a good thing, but maybe it's not for pitchers. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that comes to mind for me is, are these pitchers, what's like their ultimate goal? You know, is their ultimate goal to see how far they could go with getting batters out? Or is it just, let me see how much movement my off-speed pitches can do?
Their goal is to have the nastiest stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I don't think realistically to be the best pitcher, you have to have the nastiest stuff.
So you do?
No, I don't think so.
So you're telling me
location.
Like if your stuff's not nasty, you're not going to be good.
Okay, but if your stuff is nasty and you can't locate it, you're going to be dog shit.
Yeah, but nastiness comes with location. Like, all right, if you can dot up a fastball middle in, like dot, right?
Yeah, on the line.
On the line. That's nastiness. Not many people can do that.
I understand
proficiently.
That, I feel like the harder they try and throw it, the harder it is to control. And when you go to off-speed pitches, the harder you try and spin it, the harder it's going to be to control.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's fair. It's just like, I don't know. It's there's a lot of people going down.
But then they're also getting in these labs and like trying to overlay the fastball with the slider to like make it look like one or the other. It's like all these crazy, and like they're trying to maximize the left break and minimize the down break, and like they're doing all these very technical things, which great for pitch design, but it's just hard on the arm.
Yeah, and it's the arm's not supposed to be doing that. But yeah, what do you guys think? Let us know. Is it pitch clock? Is it these new pitching labs? Is it maybe just this generation? Like, what do you guys think it is? Let us know. But let's talk some football. Not much to talk about in football-wise, because we're still all waiting on the draft, really. In terms of draft, do you guys see, like, any team making a big move for a quarterback in the first round? Like, I know, like, Caleb Williams is going 101. I think we all know that, right?
I think it's a high percentage.
Do you see like maybe a team like the Vikings or the Giants or a QB needing team making a big move to kind of get themselves a tier one or tier two quarterback? Because I have a feeling there's going to be at least 3 to 4 quarterbacks that go within the first 15 picks, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been seeing some stuff that the Giants might be in talks to try and get the 3rd overall pick.
Yeah.
I mean, me personally, I think with this draft class, I'm not opposed to a team, you know, trying to move up in the draft to get a quarterback. I mean, it's one of the most important positions of the team.
Yeah.
So, no, you know, sure. If you're a team like the Giants or the Vikings where, you know, you don't really know who your quarterback is, or right now you have like a 35-year-old quarterback. I mean, I don't see what's wrong with trying to get a young quarterback, keep the veteran and let the veteran, like, you know, kind of train the rookie.
Yeah.
Where he's in his 3rd, 4th year and he can compete for an MVP.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I definitely see even a team like the Vikings, you know, I can definitely see them making a move for a quarterback. They have Sam Darnold right now, but they need someone to keep JJ happy. And I will obviously see who that is, but I think they'll be making a move for a quarterback, whether it's McCarthy, Drake May. I would love to see Drake May with Justin Jefferson. That would be a match made in heaven, in my opinion. But, you know, I definitely think there's going to be a lot of movement in the first round that we haven't seen in a while. Because for some reason, a lot of people are high on this year's QB class.
Bunch of studs up there. Giants are going to go up, I think. Giants need a top-tier quarterback.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, like you said, it resets your clock, right? Like you start off with a rookie quarterback contract and you can add around them. It's really like saves you a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, like look at the Chiefs, right? They can't spend big because they got freaking Mahomes' cap hit, you know? So it's like they have to draft well or they're just not going to be the team that they are every single year. If you don't draft well, you're kind of SOL. What's another team that kind of has like a young quarterback on a good deal that they can keep adding around? I mean, Joe Burrow got an extension. Justin Herbert got an extension. CJ Stroud. Yeah. Yeah.
I put two in the conversation too.
No, they have to pay him.
Oh, they didn't pay him yet?
No.
Okay. Well, once they pay him.
CJ Stroud, the Texans are in probably one of the Purdy. The Texans and Niners are probably in the best position. Niners maybe even more because Brock Purdy was, you know, the last pick of the draft. So he's getting paid absolutely nothing.
I think the Packers are in a good situation too right now also.
Yeah, yeah, no. Jordan Love for sure. But those teams that have that flexibility on with their quarterbacks on a rookie contract, it makes life a lot easier because QBs are getting paid 50, 55, 60 mil now a year. And if you guys don't know how the cap works in the NFL, they only get a certain amount to spend. It's not like MLB where you could spend as much as you want, but you're going to get taxed out the ass. NFL, there's a cap, like literally a cap on how much you can spend. So having a quarterback on a rookie deal is like the most ideal thing to be in.
I agree. Oh, yeah.
But I think that wraps it up, right? Nothing else to talk about?
Jump into our locks.
We could do our locks. There you go. See? I thought the stat guy would have updated me on that.
Pretty useless right now.
If I don't say so myself.
Hey, bro. Stats are not locks of the week.
All right. Friday, April 12th. Let's get our locks of the week. Not our dogs. Our locks.
Locks of the week.
Locks of the week. So are we doing by a certain percentage here or just like our locks?
I mean, we're just doing locks, so do whatever you think is a lock.
Okay. Works for me.
I think my lock of the week is going to be the Braves over the Marlins.
That's a pretty easy lock right there.
Chris Sale on the bump versus, what is that, Taylor Rogers?
That's an easy lock. I'm going Yankees and Clark Schmidt over Cookie Carrasco and the Guardians.
Locks of the week, like taking candy from a baby.
For sure.
Wow. They're a dog? How are they a dog? I was going to take the Dodgers over the Padres, but they're dogs.
Are they?
With Yamamoto on the bump.
And Michael King.
Michael King on the bump? He's having a good year. Miss him.
Yeah, but the Dodgers.
We change it to dogs of the week?
Nah, lock. We'll do dogs in 2 weeks.
All right. I will go with the lock of the week, the New York Metropolitans over the Kansas City Royals, because Michael Wacha,
betting on your teams.
Michael Wacha sucked for the Mets and then all of a sudden found it with the Red Sox.
Do you not understand that whoever has played for the Mets and then goes to another team, they become a superstar?
No, I've not understood that. Jared Kelnick, superstar?
All right, wait, how about you name someone that's more familiar?
Scherzer is a superstar now? Verlander's a superstar?
Well, if they're healthy, they are, yeah.
They're Gerdies, bro. They're 42 years old.
Superstar.
DeGrom was a superstar with the Mets and then got traded and is hurt.
So you just named three people that are hurt.
Okay, who else do you want to know?
Whatever, bet on the Mets, bro. The Mets to average 1.7 runs per game.
Yeah, yeah. That's all locks.
Yeah, forget it. I'm not even going to entertain that. What fool.
But make sure to check us out, guys. That's our locks, Yankees, Mets, and Nick. What teams do you pick? The
best team in the East.
The Braves? Or the Marlins.
Yes, sir.
All right. Make sure to check our locks out. We will be back in 2 weeks. Next week, we will not be recording as we will be very busy. So I hope you all have a lovely Wednesday evening and a lovely week off from Ballpark Beef. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. So peace out.